This is a remarkable story coming up. Absolutely brilliant story. It's a story of Antoinette Tough from Atlanta in the United States. She had been struggling in her own life with financial problems, and her husband, who she'd been with for 33 years, had recently left her and their disabled son. She'd tried to take her own life numerous times. Then, in August last year, she went, as usual, to her job at a school near Atlanta. But that day, a young man called Michael Hill walked into the school reception office, brandished a loaded AK-47 and said, "This is not a joke. This is real. We are all going to die today." The only thing that stood in his way, Antoinette. I've been speaking to her. You'll also hear some of the dramatic 911 call from the actual incident. She began by telling me what happened that day.
I was working at school in right outside of Atlanta, which is on Decatur. And so I was actually going to school, worked at an elementary school. And so that morning I got up, went before the Lord, had my quiet time. And, you know, God doesn't tell you everything that's going to happen. He didn't tell me about the AK-47 I was going to be facing hours later. I wish he told me. I might have called off sick, but he didn't tell me that day. And so I'm sitting there getting ready for my son to make him breakfast and everything. And I go to the elementary school where I work. And my supervisor comes in and asks me, the principal of the school, if I can fill in for the secretary. That's not my normal routine that I usually do. I'm normally in the back of my office as the bookkeeper. And so I'm now getting ready to get prepared to go up and relieve her for lunch. And I get a devastating phone call. And the phone call is actually from the bank stating that they wanted $14,000 in 7 days or they were going to repossess my car.
Had you got that kind of money?
Not at all. Not when a husband leaving you with debt. Now I'm sitting there, my door's closed. I'm sitting there crying, trying to get myself together. You know how I'm going to come up with this money? You know, I can't even try to pay my mortgage every month. Now they want $14,000. How am I going to get to work every day to try to even keep a roof over me and my son's head? And so I'm just sitting there just devastated. And I get another phone call. This time it's the secretary wondering where I am because I should have been up to the front and relieved her and back at my desk by now. But I wasn't because I was trying to get myself together. And so as I go and open up the door, there's a teacher there, and she wants to know if I can help her with her paperwork. And so I tell her to hold on for a minute, go with me to the front office. I need to relieve the secretary. And as we go to the front office, I'm sitting there helping her with her paperwork, and the secretary leaves and the parent leaves. And in comes the gunman.
You're on your own at this stage, right?
Yes, I'm on my own at this stage. There's nobody in the front but me and the teacher. And so we're just sitting there doing the paperwork and not thinking about anything about it because normally that's the busiest time of the day where all the kids are leaving and parents are coming in.
So in comes this young man. What did he look like?
He's all dressed in black. He had his gun, AK-47, already drawn, full of ammunition, telling me and the teacher that we're going to die today. Disturbed, looking like he had death in his eyes.
What exactly did he say to you, Antoinette?
We're all going to die today.
What went through your mind?
At that point, if you never had a conversation with God, now you're having one. At that point, I just said, first, it's got to be a joke. And then he said, this is not a joke, this is for real. And now I'm sitting there like, okay, you know, I'm like, okay, God, what am I going to do? Because I know that at that moment, every word that proceeded out of my mouth can be life or death, not just for me, but 870 students, teachers, and parents that are in the building that day.
Those kids were 4 to 10 years of age.
Yes, they're actually from pre-K to fifth graders. And we have over 100 and some staff members there, not including teachers that were actually in the building.
And that went through your mind, the amount of people that were in that school at that split second, that's what you were thinking about?
Yes, because I knew that they were actually dependent upon me to save their lives. So I'm sitting there trying to figure out what am I going to say to this young man that's going to keep him from not killing us all.
What did you say? I think I would have screamed.
Well, I thought I was screaming because on the inside I was screaming at God, like, okay, God, what do I say? How do I say it? You know, the word that's coming out of my mouth right now, it's going to be life or death for any of us. How do I do this, God? I need your help. And so, I'm literally screaming, having a conversation with God, you know, asking him to guide my words. How do I say it? What do I do? I did not know that I was not screaming and yelling until everybody afterwards said how calm I was. So I went back and listened to the 911 tape myself, and I didn't even recognize it was me.
Okay, police, what's addressing your emergency?
Yes, ma'am. I'm on 2nd Avenue in the school, and the gentleman said, tell them to hold down. The police officers are coming, and he said he's going to start shooting, so tell them to back off.
Okay, one moment.
Do not let anybody in the building, including the police. Do not let anybody in the building, including the police.
See, as I'm sitting at the desk, he goes and tried to shoot right in front of me. When the teacher left, the cafeteria manager came in, and the cafeteria manager didn't move fast enough for him, and he got agitated. And he fired his first shot right there in front of me, and the bullet ricochets all in the room. And I am literally sitting there like, okay, God, please don't let this bullet hit any of us. Don't even let it hit him. Allow us to all to be able to go home today.
So the bullet had ricocheted around the room, and you're sitting there among that.
Yes, I'm sitting right there a feet away from him while the bullet is just flying everywhere in the air. And so then he gets agitated, and then he goes now and tells the cafeteria manager to let everybody know he's in the building. And he now goes back outside and starts shooting in the community again.
Oh, he just went outside and started shooting.
Okay.
Oh, can I run?
Can you get somewhere safe?
Yeah, I got to go.
But the thing about that for me was that I knew that there were parents, grandparents, and children in those homes in the community. So for me, I was trying to make sure that I kept him inside with me, that he did not go outside to shoot or go out in the actual school to start shooting at kids, because I knew that there were people everywhere around us.
That's really admirable of you, Antoinette. You're trying to keep this gunman with you so that he doesn't go to the children.
Yes. I know that for me, it was important for me that day for every child and every parent and every teacher to go home to their parents that day.
What happened next?
And so now as I'm sitting there, he now comes back in front of me, sits down and gets the book bag. I didn't know what was in the book bag before that time. But he gets the book bag and he now pulls out all of these bullets. I had never seen bullets a day in my life. That was the first time I've ever seen a gun or bullets. He now goes and pulls out all of the bullets. He pulls out all of these magazines and start loading them right there in front of me. He is now loading up himself with bullets and magazines in all of his pockets to now go out and start shooting World War II. So as I'm sitting there, now another level of terror comes, because now I'm seeing him now arming himself to be able to go out and start shooting again, so that he can just continuously just shoot. And as he does that, the police officers now are firing back at him. But the thing about it is that there was a window right beside me, big window, and the bullets that they were firing off hit all of the windows except for that one. And so I was saying to him, bullets don't have no name. Come back in here. Come back in here. Come back in here with me. And he wouldn't move. And I kept just sitting there praying. I'm like, come back in here. Come back in here. And finally, he came back in the room where I was and just was start walking to and fro, calling his family members and letting them know that he's going to die, and, you know, giving his last words of what's going to happen, and turn on the TV so that you could see him, and just gearing up to know that this is the end. And so as I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, God, what do I do? And then he takes the gun, and then he's going to kill himself. And I'm like, oh, no, you're not doing that. We're not doing that today. No, you're not going to do that. And so he said, you don't understand.
But did you not want him? Did you not want him to die? Because then you would have been safe.
Well, I didn't want him to die because that, at the end of the day, he is still somebody's son, and his mom wanted him to come home too. So even though he was unstable at the moment, it still does not take away that he's a person. He just needed some help, just like we all do at one point in our life. It may not be to that magnitude, but we all need a helping hand from somebody, whether it's someone helping you take out the trash or someone giving you $5 for a meal or treating you out to dinner. We all need a helping hand one day. And so for me, that day was me helping him to give him a helping hand.
He said he should have just went to the mental hospital instead of doing this because he's not on his medication.
Okay.
Well, do you want me to try? I can help you. You want to talk to them? Want me to talk to them and try to? Okay, well, let me talk to them and let's see if we can work it out so that you don't have to go away with them for a long time. No, it does matter.
Was he aggressive?
Very aggressive. Very unstable in all of his ways. Very angry young man. Very disturbed young man. A young man that did not know who he was.
Was he telling you, did he tell you why he wanted to kill all of you?
No, he never told me that. He just kept telling me that he was not stable, he had not taken his medicine in a while, and that we all were going to die today. But I was just kind of allowing him to know some of my story, what I had went through. I was allowing him to know that everything was going to be okay in spite of all that we were both going through. I allowed him to know that I tried to commit suicide myself. And so I just showed him compassion and love and allowed him to know that in spite of it all, that we're all was going to go home today.
You immediately said, it's going to be all right, sweetie. I just want you to know that I love you.
Yes.
Why on earth, Antoinette, would you tell this gunman that you loved him?
Because I do.
It's going to be all right, sweetie. I just want you to know that I love you, though, okay? And I'm proud of you. That's a good thing that you've just given up, and don't worry about it. We all go through something in life. No, you don't want that. You're going to be okay.
Because at the end of the day, he was no different than I was. The only difference between me and him was that he had a gun in his hand and I didn't. I had tried to commit suicide myself just like he was trying to do. I was in an overwhelming situation myself because my ex-husband had just left me. So I understood his pain. I knew exactly where he was coming from, and I understood what he was saying. I understood the hurt that he was feeling because I had that same hurt. The only difference with me and him was is that at that moment, I didn't take a gun to take others' lives. I tried to take my own. But God sent an angel to watch over me, and every suicide moment that I tried to attempt to take my life, to decide that that was not going to be the day for me to be able to live, to survive, to be able to save all of those people that day and those students.
You told him about your suicide. You said to him, I thought the same thing, you know. I tried to commit suicide last year after my husband left me, but look at me now. I'm still working. Everything is okay.
Well, don't feel bad, baby. My husband just left me after 33 years. But, yes, you do. I mean, I'm sitting here with you and talking to you about it.
Did he respond?
No, he didn't respond to me at all during the whole time. I didn't know if he was listening, not listening, if I was getting through to him, if he was going to give himself up. I didn't know any of that. Because all he did the whole time was give me demands, allow me to know what to do. You know, he said to me, call the 911 operator. Then he says, hang up from the 911 operator, but I didn't. Instead, I put the 911 operator on hold. Then he wanted me to call the news station, so I called them. But when he told me to hang up from the news station, instead of me hanging up, I actually put the phone down and hit the 911 operator's button so that she could have eyes and ears on the inside to know what was actually going on.
So what did he do then? You're telling him not to kill himself. He's got the gun presumably to his head. What did he do?
He put it up to his chin like he was going to fire it. And so then he gets agitated. He starts walking and he starts pacing and he's like, you don't understand. And then he goes and go back outside and start firing again. He comes back in. He's like, you don't understand. So I just start telling him my story. You know, I start telling him to look at me. You know, I'm okay, even in spite of my ex-husband leaving and in spite of my son being multiple disabilities and in spite of everything that's going on in my life, I'm okay, and he's going to be okay too.
I can let them know that you have not tried to harm me or do anything with me or anything if you want to. But that doesn't make any difference. You didn't hit anybody. So, okay, let me ask you this, ma'am. He didn't hit anybody. He just shot outside the door. If I walk out there with him, they won't shoot him or anything like that, he wants to give himself up, is that okay, and they won't shoot him?
Yes, ma'am.
And he said he just want to go to the hospital?
Okay.
She said,
hold on one moment.
Okay, she said, hold on, and she's going to talk to the police officer, and I'll go out there with you.
And I just started allowing him to know that in spite of it all, that I was proud of him for giving himself up. I was proud of him for doing the right thing. And at that moment, he hadn't even given himself up. You know, but I'm just, you know, talking with him, hoping that he's going to do it. And so as I'm sitting there just talking to him and just telling him that it's going to be okay and explaining things to him, what I went through, he then goes and takes all of the bullets out of his pocket and all of the magazines and put it on the counter right beside me, including his bottle of water, the book bag, and the gun.
Wait a minute. So can you talk to the police and let them know that I'm going to walk out there with him and he wants to give himself up?
Okay, I am. Let me get an okay from them, okay?
Okay. And you let me know what we need to do. He wants me to go on the intercom and let everybody know that he's sorry, okay?
Okay.
Okay, hold on.
It's okay.
Ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, he's going to come on now. But he wants to know, what do you want him to do with the gun?
Okay.
Or you want to send a police officer in? And he said he'll be on the ground with his hands behind his back, and I'll take the gun from him and put it over here on the other side by me. Put all that over here so that way they won't see it, okay? Come over here and put it over here on this. Okay. Put it all up there, okay.
He's put the weapons down?
Yeah. So hold on before you come. He's putting everything down.
Okay.
So he's going to get on the floor, so tell him to hold on a minute. So let him get everything together. He's getting it all together. Okay. Tell me when you're ready, and then I tell him to come on in. Okay, he wants to drink his bottle of water, so let him drink his.
Okay. Ma'am, you're doing a great job.
So would you want to go ahead and want me to tell him to come on in now? Okay, he's getting everything out of his pockets now.
Okay, that's fine. Just take all his weapons off.
Okay, she said that's fine. Take all your weapons off. She said he don't have no more weapons.
Okay.
Okay.
And then he goes and lay prostrate on the floor and allow the police to come in and get him.
Okay, he's on the ground now with his hands behind the back. So hold on, just sit right there, and I'm going to buzz them in, okay, so you'll know when they're coming, okay?
Wow.
Yes. And then the police officer started taking a minute. So then he starts getting agitated. And he says, where are they? Where are they? And I'm like, okay, y'all need to come on in here. So I'm on the phone with the 911 operator. Where are they? He's laying on the floor. We need to come on. What are they doing? And so he says to me, oh, here they come. I didn't even hear them. He heard them first.
So just stay there calm. Don't worry about it. I'm going to sit right here so they'll see that you're trying not to harm me, okay? Okay.
And he said, here they come. And so then he laid back down. I said, well, lay back down so that they'll see that you are not hurting me. Lay back down. And he lays back down. And then he allows the police officers to come in and arrest him.
Okay. We're not going to hate you, baby. It's a good thing that you're giving up. So we're not going to hate you.
It's an incredible story of I don't know, survival, Antoinette. You know, this gunman was intent on killing. What was his name?
His name is Michael Brandon Hill.
Michael was intent on killing everyone around him, and you managed to talk him out of it somehow.
Well, yes, you know, the thing about it is that I know that God needed a vessel that day. And so God allowed me and gave me the words to say that Michael Hill could give up and allow everyone to go home that day, including him. So it wasn't anything that I did, because I can promise you I was terrified, scared, had to go to the bathroom so bad. And I asked him, could I go to the bathroom? And he was like, yeah, you can go to the bathroom. And I'm like, if I get up and go to the bathroom, as much as he knows shot, we all going to be dead. And so, I mean, I was terrified. But I knew that day, everybody needed me to stand in the gap. But I was just like anybody else. I was a normal person before all of this happened.
Well, you're being called a hero in America, aren't you?
Yeah, but I don't really look at myself as a hero. I just look at myself as God's vessel, because I was terrified.
What happened? What ended up happening to Michael then? Is he in jail? I presume
he's actually in jail still. Yes,
I presume he is. I presume he's there for life. Is he?
I don't know. They have not actually sentenced him or anything like that, so I don't know exactly how long he's there or anything like that.
Did you say anything to him, Antoinette, as he was being taken away?
No. I'm actually sitting there now just thanking God that they got him, You know, because when the police officers came in, that was another level of terror for me. Because, you know, you see stuff on TV, but never in reality. So, I have never seen so many police officers in all the days of my life. I mean, it was police officers everywhere. And so, you know, they coming in with their guns and their shields. And, I mean, it was just like, oh, my goodness. That was like, okay, are we finished or are we starting back up again? So, for me, I didn't have a chance or didn't ask him anything. It didn't even actually come to my mind. I was just sitting there thanking God that we all survived.
What's also interesting about your story, Antoinette, is that usually in this type of horrific situation, we never hear about any of the other side to the gunman. We never hear people being sympathetic to a would-be killer, and yet you're demonstrating empathy and sympathy for him. We very rarely hear that.
Well, the thing about it is that at the end of the day, he's still a human being, and he's one of God's children. So for me to judge him, where does that get him or me? Because at the end of the day, that's for God to do and not me. And so all I do is with him and anybody else that I come in contact with is to show compassion and love, and I allow God to do the rest.
Antoinette, it's an incredible story. You've written a book about this, haven't you?
Yes, I've written a book called Prepared for a Purpose. And so what I do is I actually go and I do my book tours, and I actually go and do professional speaking all around the world, nationally and internationally, allowing people to know just how to be prepared for their purpose so they don't have to be another Michael Hill. And it doesn't make any difference how young you are or how old you are. God has a purpose for us all. And so I go and speak and actually just encourage and allow others to know that if they're in the workplace, they have a purpose. If they're in their personal life, they have a purpose. And so for me, that's one of the things that I do. I've also started a nonprofit organization from all this. People from all over the world gave to my GoFundMe account, and they continue to give to my GoFundMe account. And with that account, we have actually built a nonprofit organization, which is Kids on the Move for Success.
Wow.
Because we want our children to be successful and be leaders and not followers. And so I go all over, and we're actually getting ready to come back next month on the anniversary. They name August the 20th Antoinette Tough Day. So we're going to come back to the school and bring the police officers and the 911 operator and all of us back together and give God some glory of what he's actually doing.
You must just finally, Antoinette, you must be very proud of yourself. If you think back to what you said to me at the very beginning of this interview, that when your husband left you, you didn't really know how to do anything bar breathe. You didn't think you would be able to survive. And from a lady who tried to take her own life and felt that she couldn't do anything to what you're achieving now, you must be immensely proud.
Well, I am. I know now that God has something inside of me to be able to give to others.
It's an incredible story, isn't it? Absolutely incredible.